It is a Friday night. It is SmackDown. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you for joining me here on yet another Friday night. You know, we've been watching SmackDown over the last several weeks. SmackDown has been the Rock show. And it's been that way for weeks now. Really, this entire WrestleMania build has been the Rock show. So I was looking forward to having a night where there would be no Rock. And instead, we can get back to brass tacks. We can get right down to business with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, the two men in the Night 2 WrestleMania main event. The two men who are going to be wrestling for the championship, you know, the actual main event at WrestleMania this year. Because they have seemingly faded into the background in favor of The Rock and Cody, The Rock and Seth. Everything's about The Rock. So I was looking forward to getting this face-to-face tonight. And we did get a face-to-face in the ring between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. And my fears have been realized. It was this creeping fear that I had in the back of my mind. I said, I really hope when I see these two out there in the ring, I'm not going to feel the way that I feel right now. But it hit me like a ton of bricks. Even though he was not there in the flesh, even though he was technically not on the show tonight, The Rock loomed large in that main event segment. His presence was felt in other ways. His name was mentioned. And placing so much of the focus on him has really killed off a lot of the juice in the Night 2 WrestleMania main event, which is really the main event that should matter the most. That is not good. That is not good. Now, we have a big main event on Night 1. Obviously, that's going to be the tag team match, and that is a big match. May end up being the biggest tag team match in the history of this company, the way it's being positioned right now. And the star power that's in the match. But this segment tonight did not help matters. Once you actually saw Roman and Cody out there, going back and forth, trading barbs at each other, didn't exactly light the world on fire watching these two in the ring exchanging shots, if I could even call them that, at each other in the ring tonight. I thought it was a really lame ending to overall what I would say was a decent show. And that's about as far as I would be willing to go to describe tonight's SmackDown. I really was not feeling this episode tonight. Really wasn't. The thing with this Roman and Cody segment, I thought that there would be some new ground covered in some way. Some new ground, some new wrinkle, something. And instead, what we got was paint-by-numbers stuff. We had Roman come out there. It's to the point where Roman Reigns is almost too laid back when he's out there. Like he doesn't even care about this man. Cody's out there saying the same stuff that he's been saying, for the most part. And there was one exchange during the segment. And it may end up having significance later on down the road, but now, he mentioned the fact that Roman had called him the greatest number two of all time. You can't be number one because I'm number one. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. And Cody made his case and said, no, I'm not number two. I'm the one. But there was an exchange during this segment where, and this was kind of the point of what they were trying to do. Really, if this is why I said what I said before about how Rock loomed large, because they made it about the tag team partners on night one. And so the story now is that can Cody trust Seth, but can Roman trust The Rock? And then he made a comment about how I'm a little curious about the hierarchy here of the bloodline. Does everybody answer to the tribal chief? Is he the end-all be-all, or is it the final boss? And there was a moment in there where they could have done something kind of interesting and they didn't do it, which is Roman's reaction to that crack. And instead, his reaction was the classic Roman Reigns non-reaction, where he just played it off. He made a funny face, like, what is this guy talking about, right? Like, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And he just played it off, like, you know, in one ear and out the other, wasn't a big deal. And that was the moment in the segment where they really could have had Roman finally show some fire and show a little bit of emotion like he cared. And I'm not saying he had to outwardly make it so apparent that, you know, no, I'm the boss, not him. Well, he doesn't have to come out and say that because obviously they're building to something with him and Rock. I get that. But that was a missed opportunity to maybe make things a little bit interesting. The segment just wasn't interesting. And when it was over, you know, we had a standoff between the members of the Bloodline, and we had Cody and Jey Uso and Seth Rollins, because Cody and Roman lied to each other, and in fact, they did not show up alone. There was no physicality, though. We had a little bit of a standoff at the end of the show, and that's how they went off the air. But it just was very underwhelming. I thought a very lame ending to the show. And last week, I did make a mention about something else, unrelated to Roman or Cody or The Rock. This is one of the things I actually enjoyed and got a kick out of on the show tonight. Remember last week, I said, you know, AJ Styles has been avoiding LA Knight now for weeks. We have not seen AJ Styles on this television show. And even that's been kind of boring because we've had a lot of LA Knight showing up with a chair. Where is he? Where is he? Right? Well, he's not here. And he's cutting promos on AJ Styles, who's not physically on the show. It's fucking boring, right? You could do that for a week or two, but how many weeks now has it been? And I said, here's what I want on the show this week. I want LA Knight to go to AJ's house. I want him to go to his house when he's in the middle of streaming live on Twitch, and I want him to break into the man's house. He wasn't streaming on Twitch, but they did, in fact, have LA Knight come to AJ's house in Gainesville, Georgia. And campy as it may have been, I enjoyed that. One of the few things I enjoyed on the show tonight. We'll get into the whole thing, and I'll have more to say about that main event segment, which was not very good. Here on this SmackDown review for March 22nd, 2024, I am the Solo Monster. Thank you so much for joining me. Like and subscribe to the channel. 400 likes is the goal tonight for Be the Booker. I don't know if we're going to hit it, but we're going to try. Super chats are open. I thank you in advance. I'll be reading your messages in a little bit. We will get to that. But first, we got to get into this show. We got to talk about Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar, which is how they opened the show. A match that I thought was going to be saved for WrestleMania. And then they announced it, and I said, well, we'll see if we actually get the match, or, you know, if we end up getting more of an angle. And in fact, we got the match. So, surprisingly, we are not going to get the singles match at WrestleMania, I don't think. Rey had a couple of awkward moments early in the match. Couple of slips, very uncharacteristic of him early on. Escobar ended up outside on the floor. Rey did his sliding splash under the bottom rope out of the ring, and then they took us into commercial with that. So it was a very rough start for Rey in this match. And Corey Graves tried to cover for it on commentary, which I thought was good on his part, by saying, well, maybe Rey is not fully healed up from his knee surgery yet. I didn't get the impression that those slip-ups were by design. It just looked to me like Rey was a little rough. I think this was his first match back since, what, November? October? He's been out of the ring for a while. I don't know if he's been working house shows or not, but it felt to me like he just had a couple of hiccups that he normally wouldn't have. And Graves tried to cover up for it. But thankfully, he worked all of that out coming out of the break. The second half of this match, much better than those first few minutes. He looked more like his normal self. Escobar took control for a little bit. He set Rey up in a tree of woe. He went for a spear, and he missed, collided with the ring post. Rey climbed to the top rope while Escobar was regrouping outside and just dove off the top rope with a crossbody, landed on him on the floor. Rey then hit a top rope seated senton back inside and then a springboard moonsault. Looked like the Rey Mysterio of old, so we were back in business. He lined up for a 619. Escobar, though, took him out with a super kick when he rebounded off the ropes. And he was talking some smack to Mysterio. He fired up, sent Escobar to ringside. Rey slammed his head into the announce table. Then he hit a seated senton running across the announce table. So Escobar was over by the barricade by the timekeeper's area. He was kind of leaned up against it. And Rey comes running across the table with a seated senton. That takes both men out over the barricade. And Escobar came very close to smacking the back of his head on the concrete, it looked like. Rey tossed Escobar back into the ring. He was on the apron, and he was setting up for a West Coast pop when a masked man appears. Looked like a fan. And he had a lucha mask on, and he interrupted Rey, who crashed and burned. And then Ray turns around to see, like, what's going on here? And that distraction allowed Escobar to hit a 619 of his own. And then he followed with the Phantom Driver, and he pinned Rey Mysterio. And after that, the Masked Man revealed himself to be Dominic Mysterio. Although we didn't have to wait for him to pull the mask off. It was pretty clear, even without seeing the mullet, because the hair was under the mask. You could still tell it was Dominic. But he pulled the mask off. Everybody booed. Much better second half of this match. And so they are going back to Rey and Dominic out of nowhere. There's been nothing on television to indicate that they were going back to Rey and Dom in any way, shape, or form. And so now they're back to Rey and Dominic, which I guess answers the question as far as what's Dominic going to do at WrestleMania. All the other members of the Judgment Day, except for JD McDonagh, I was going to say R-Truth, but R-Truth is going to be in the tag team ladder match. So JD McDonagh is like the only member of the Judgment Day who is not accounted for right now at WrestleMania. Rhea Ripley has a match. Finn Balor and Damian Priest have a tag team title match. I mentioned R-Truth if you want to throw him in there. And so it's been a matter of, well, what is Dominic going to do? Now we got our answer. We know who he's going to be involved with. I'm thinking we get a tag team match, but maybe not the tag team match you may be thinking of. I don't think they're going to try to, you know, kind of fill the match with all the members of Legado and all the members of the LWO, because that's not a WrestleMania match. You want to do that match, you do that match on TV. I don't have any interest in seeing that at WrestleMania. The match I think that they are building towards, it feels like to me, is going to be Escobar and Dominic on one side, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee on the other. You know, Dragon Lee, they build him as almost like the heir apparent to Rey, like the next Rey Mysterio, which is a hell of a thing to say about somebody. But I think they've kind of mentioned that on TV in the past. And he is the one that Triple H is clearly trying to build up, although he's cooled off a lot over the last several weeks. We saw him at the, Vengeance Day? Whatever the NXT show was at the beginning of last month. And then after that, again, I don't know if it was an issue of a visa problem or a minor injury, but he just disappeared. Dragon Lee was getting a decent push there, and he just vanished for like 5 weeks from TV. And then he reappeared, and then he got beat quickly a few weeks ago. So he's really, like, they've super cooled him off for whatever reason. But they could get him back on track. You pair him up with Rey, you put him in a big tag team match at WrestleMania. I think that's where this is headed. He makes a lot more sense than Carlito. Carlito is not, you know, in a position where, even though he's part of the LWO, he's not being pushed in any meaningful way. And I wouldn't waste that spot on him when you've got Dragon Lee right there, and Dragon Lee is the one who's in need of getting, you know, some of his heat back here. So I think that's the direction we're headed for WrestleMania. Backstage, Bayley approached Naomi and thanked her for her friendship because she said it's been hard to come by lately. Bianca Belair showed up and told Bayley that you deserve everything that's happening to you right now. Again, Bianca tells it like it is. Bianca is no fan of Bayley, because Bayley and Damage Control have made her life a living hell for the past 2 years. And so she has no interest in being Bayley's friend. She has no interest in helping this woman out in any way, shape, or form. But she shows up and says, you deserve it all. Naomi eventually has to kind of pull her away to try to calm her down. After a break, they show Cody is in the back, sitting at a table in the hallway, signing posters. And here comes Naomi and Bianca. They're still bickering after what happened in the previous segment. So we see Cody sitting there, but now the two ladies are walking down the hallway. And Naomi said, look, everything that you said was perfectly valid. Like, you're right. You're right to feel the way that you feel. But there's nothing that you can do about it now. She said that she's not going to back down, but she knows that she needs help just like Bianca needed help in the past. Nobody can take down Damage Control alone. And she walked away, which left Bianca by herself to contemplate things. JP says, Bianca on her Drew bag. Tell you, Drew McIntyre, a lot of what he says makes sense, and a lot of what Bianca's been saying makes sense. It's nice to have some people on the ride. I was going to say baby faces, but Drew's not a baby face. But it's nice to have some people on the roster who actually think. Now, they actually think rationally about things. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You ever go to the casino and only play the slot machines? Why only play the slots? You know, the big money is in all the other games. Why would you limit yourself like that? Well, watching Netflix without ExpressVPN is basically the same thing. Why limit yourself to only a fraction of the shows and movies that you can watch when you can use ExpressVPN and unlock so many hours of new content? It's true. Netflix has different content libraries for every country, but without a VPN, you're not getting the most bang for your buck. That's why you need ExpressVPN. It lets you change your location online to make Netflix think you live in one place when in reality you're in a totally different place. With ExpressVPN, I've been watching episodes of The Office. And if you're a fan of The Office, you may not realize that you can't watch it anymore on Netflix in the US. It's not there. So in order to watch Michael and Dwight, I just opened the ExpressVPN app. I selected Canada as my country. I became an honorary Canadian. I didn't even need to file any visa paperwork to do it. I tapped one button to connect, and just like that, when I refreshed the page on Netflix, there it was. You realize how easy that was? You've got people sitting there banging their head against the wall when they realize they can't watch the show when all they had to do was go the VPN route. In a lot of cases, they just don't realize that it's even an option for them. Some of the things I love about ExpressVPN and why I use it are the super fast speeds, it's very fast, and how many different devices it works on. I can use it on my laptop, I can use it on my smartphone, I can use it on my smart TV, so I always have access wherever I am. They make it all very convenient. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/solomonster. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/solomonster to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Again, that's expressvpn.com/solomonster. We had Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows with Meechan in their corner against Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. This was bracket number 2 for the tag team title ladder match of WrestleMania. They would meet the winners of the match coming up later in the show with the Street Profits and AOP. And the winners would then go on to WrestleMania. Or rather, well, let's back up a little bit here. Because it's a little bit different the way they've been working this. Because they have the champions and then they have 5 other spots for WrestleMania. And I believe it's 2 SmackDown teams and 3 Raw teams, if I'm not mistaken, that are going to be in the tag team title ladder match at WrestleMania. And so the winners of, well, let's see, next week they've announced, but we'll talk later about what they announced. I don't want to give the spoiler away yet. But this was bracket number 2. Last week we had bracket number 1. That's all you need to know. Confusing myself now with these brackets. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, Carl Anderson ran wild for a little bit late in the match. He got a little flurry of offense there. He got a respectful reaction from the crowd for it. Spine busters for both the heels. He and Gallows tried for the magic killer, but Grayson Waller broke it up. Eventually, Theory rolled up Gallows with an assist from Waller to win the match and move on. You know, the OC doesn't mean much on the main roster. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, these guys, they never win. They never wrestle. They never have promo time. If you didn't watch NXT, I guarantee you, you would not be able to sit there and tell me the last time that you saw these two men have a tag team match on TV without going to cage match. Okay? You wouldn't be able to tell me that. And if you could say yes, you're a liar. So it's not as if they've been used in any meaningful way recently. They were there. They served their purpose in this match. And look, it's not like they're bad wrestlers, right? Carl Anderson is not a bad wrestler. But you look at these two, and it's like there's no, typically there's nothing there to really get behind, even though I think the OC is supposed to be a babyface group, I think. I don't even know why there is an OC anymore. There is no OC. AJ is on his own. AJ's a heel. They're the good brothers. I don't even know why they're calling them the OC at this point. I don't even know why Meechan is with them. Although, I was going to say, they should be her manager. I feel like Meechan gets more TV time on average than they do. Maybe they should manage her instead of the other way around. But they actually showed more life here than I can remember them showing, but you know, again, that's because it's actually been a long time since we've seen them. outside of their pair of NXT appearances recently. We had Naomi one-on-one with the women's champion Io Sky. This was non-title, of course. All the members of Damage Control, except for Io Sky, came out. And Naomi is in the wing, right in the wing. She's in the wing. Naomi, oh boy, what do we got tonight? Let's see. Oh, strong stuff here. I'll leave that up to your imagination. I guess I hit it a little early tonight. She's in the wing, and we see up on the Tron that Io Sky is not out there because she's in the back. And why is she in the back? She's in the back because she's assaulting Bayley, beating her up. And Nick Aldis had to come over, and Shane Helms had to come over, and a gaggle of referees had to come over to break things up between them. By the way, when Damage Control walked out, Asuka was with them, and she was hopping up, you know, she was hopping up and down, so that's a good sign. We were a little worried about Asuka last week at the end of the show. She was limping. Clearly she was hurt. We didn't know how badly it was, and then they pulled her from the house shows as a precaution. That's never a good sign that they pull somebody from the road like that. But she was out there tonight, and she was bouncing up and down, so she can't be that hurt. If she is hurt, she's not that hurt. But anyway, so yes, Bayley got her ass kicked in the back. And then eventually Io finally came out. And then Io sent her girls to the back. They did not come down to the ring with her. Naomi had the upper hand, ran Io into a turnbuckle before hitting a crossbody from the top rope. That's right, a gaggle of referees. That's what they were. So she also hit, Naomi did a split-legged splash in the corner for a two count. Io quickly came back with a shotgun dropkick. Now, I don't know why this happened, but here, probably because as I'm watching, I'm speeding through my notes. And I have shorthand, too, so I know what I mean. But it's just funny because I'm, I'm looking at this. I wrote, Io came back with Io came back with a shotgun, period. Now, I know what that means, but I'm just looking at it, and it's just funny to look at. Io did not come back with a shotgun. That would not be legal here in this match. And frankly, this feud is not hot enough to warrant Io coming back with a shotgun. So that did not happen. But I digress. So Io went to the top. Naomi popped up and cut her off. And then hit a superplex for a near fall. Got a good near fall, actually, out of that. Io came back with a standing double stomp. Naomi, though, came back with a draping face buster. Here comes Damage Control, including Asuka, running down to the ring. And that distraction was good enough for Io to take advantage and then hit the over-the-moonsault to pick up the win. Io had murder on her mind. I think Io could probably murder somebody without the shotgun. I don't know that she needs a shotgun. Probably not. Don't watch that. No. If you did not see this show tonight, do not now get excited to watch it because you think that Io came out with a shotgun. Fox would never allow that. Only on their other shitty programming. So after the match, Damage Control ganged up on Naomi. Asuka misted her in the face, which can only mean one thing. Jimmy Uso and Naomi will likely be welcoming a little one into the world very soon. Because that's usually the way it works when you get misted by Asuka. So I would keep an eye out for the announcement soon. Now Bianca Belair's music hits. She runs down to the ring. She wiped out all of Damage Control. Then she lifted Kairi Sane up. Looked like she was going to go for the KOD. But Dakota Kai chop blocked her. And they all ganged up on her as well. And the crowd chanted for Bayley, but there was no Bayley. And Damage Control celebrated to close out the segment. This was a good match. I enjoyed this match. Naomi loses again, but it took outside interference from Damage Control for Io to get the job done. And Bianca finally did show up. We knew she was going to show up. It's been building to this moment. Yeah, they've been kind of teasing something for a few weeks now. And where they go from here is going to be very interesting, because where they go from here could be affected by this woman, the woman that was featured in the very next segment. After this, they aired a Jade Cargill video package. They have gone radio silent for Jade over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Last time we saw her, she made a very random appearance in the back, talking to Nick Aldis, right? He pulled her into his office. But she had a little face-off with Damage Control in that segment. And then we have not seen or heard from Jade since. Well, now it is official. They had a video package for her. She called herself a once-in-a-lifetime generational talent and said they're going to build statues of her. And we don't have to like it, but we damn sure can deny it. And that's why she is taking her talents to SmackDown. So it is official. Next Friday, she's going to make her first official appearance as a member of the SmackDown roster. So Nick Aldis got Bron Breakker, who they also aired a video package for tonight. He got Bron Breakker. And here he got Jade Cargill. This guy's making moves like he's Tony Khan. And meanwhile, you got Adam Pearce asleep at the wheel, like Paul Levesque, allowing the other guy to pick up all these free agent talents. Nick Aldis is making moves here on this show. So now the question is this. Do they add Jade to this storyline with Damage Control? Remember what I pitched many weeks ago? The idea that I pitched was Bianca and Jade. That way you have Jade at WrestleMania, but not in a singles match. And you have Bianca and Jade as this unstoppable force challenging Asuka and Kairi for the women's tag team titles at WrestleMania and winning the women's tag team title. And I know all the Asuka fans are not going to want to hear that because Asuka, I think, she still has yet to win a match at WrestleMania. All the Asuka fans are hoping that this is going to be it. This is finally going to be the year. But I'm sure Bill Goldberg is somewhere putting some kind of voodoo curse on Asuka, so she's going to lose at WrestleMania anyway. But you do Bianca and Jade against Asuka and Kairi. But there are other options here. And one of those other options is poor Dakota Kai would have no match at WrestleMania if they do that. Because we know Io is wrestling, and then you would have the women's tag team titles on the line, but then Dakota has to just stand outside. If they want everybody involved, you do a six-person tag. And you could do Bianca and Jade and Naomi against Asuka, Kairi, and Dakota. And the only drawback is the women's tag team titles are not defended at WrestleMania, but who gives a shit? If they are, they are. If they're not, they're not. I personally don't give a damn. So those are two options right there, but there's another segment that aired after this in the back where Bianca was helping Naomi try to wash the poison mist out of her eyes with bottles of water. And Tiffany Stratton walked by. And Tiffany Stratton said, "Hey, that's a pretty good look for you, Naomi. Toodles!" And then she walked off. And Bianca looked like she wanted to murder this woman. But she didn't make the crack about Bianca. She made the wisecrack about Naomi. So again, I go back to what I suggested before. You can have Bianca and Jade as partners taking on Asuka and Kairi for the tag titles. And you could do Naomi in a singles match at WrestleMania for that wisecrack against Tiffany Stratton. That's also a possibility. So I don't know ultimately what they're going to decide. I just cannot imagine that after weeks of nothing, we now get a video package for Jade Cargill announcing that she is officially part of SmackDown. And she is going to be on the show next week. Okay, that's going to be a little over a week before WrestleMania. Now she's going to show up as an official member of the roster, and you don't have anything for her to do at WrestleMania. I don't buy it. I think Bianca and Jade are going to go after the tag team titles. That's what I think. And you could put the titles on them. They could be this dominant team. It's actually a very smart way to help get Jade over in a major way, where eventually when you split them, now you've got this huge singles match you can do, Bianca against Jade. So you bring them together at first as partners, and then you always have the inevitable breakup that can lead to the singles match way down the road. I think that's the smart play here. The backstage, Nick Aldis, who had one bad wing, unlike the wing that Naomi was standing in before. He has one bad wing because he had surgery this week for a torn bicep. Now, I don't know exactly what happened. It was some sort of off work, I guess, fluky thing that happened to him. I don't know how it happened. but he tore his bicep. He had surgery the other day. He was in the back. He was speaking to Kevin Owens when Pretty Deadly walked up. Owens and Pretty Deadly, they argued. Owens challenged them to a match next week. It'll be him and a partner against Pretty Deadly. And he was also bragging about the fact that it was in this very building. I think they were in Milwaukee tonight. In this very venue, a number of months ago, he punched two people in the face at the same time with one punch. That was Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Randy Orton appeared. A wild Randy Orton showed up here. And Owens asked him to be his tag team partner, and he said yes. And so Owens and Randy walked away. They were very excited about next week. Owens then returned, or at least his fist did, from off camera because he did punch Elton Prince and Kit Wilson at the same time with a single punch. And that he very excitedly ran off to go tell Randy all about it. And that was the end of that. We then saw a video. I guess this was, did they say if it was from yesterday or the other day? I don't know what day it was, but this was filmed at the home of AJ Styles in Gainesville, Georgia. They had a camera crew there to film AJ to talk about his preparation for his big singles match coming up at WrestleMania with LA Knight. And AJ was shown sitting in his, I guess, living room, and he's being interviewed, and we hear the honking of a horn outside of his house. And he can't imagine what it is. So AJ gets up and he walks outside to go find out what the ruckus is. And he sees LA Knight standing outside of his car, reaching in through the window, honking the horn, trying to get his attention. So AJ sees him. LA Knight, of course, he's talking shit. He's going, yeah, he's talking all kinds of crap. And the two of them end up brawling on AJ's front lawn. Now, somewhere in this commotion, I guess the camera guy got knocked over, and the camera transmission, they lost their feed or whatever. So we got no more footage from the camera. But things picked up with a different camera because the police eventually were called. And now we have the view of the police dash cam footage. As the cops arrived on the scene, they broke them up. They ended up handcuffing LA Knight. They put him face down on the hood of the car. Styles comes back while he's being cuffed. Styles comes over to attack him again. Now the cops are going to cuff AJ. AJ's explaining to them, oh, no, this is my house. So they let him go. Then we see Wendy. We got a Wendy cameo here. I don't mean Wendy's like the fucking burger joint. I know a lot of you probably eat Wendy's. No, we saw Wendy show up. Samoa Joe must be so excited sitting at home watching this. Wendy came out to calm her husband down so he didn't get arrested. This whole community, they were waking up the whole community. The community was being awoken here by this commotion outside. And the police stuffed LA Knight in the back of their squad car while AJ told him that he would see him next week at SmackDown. We were told that AJ declined to press charges. That's why LA Knight is no longer incarcerated. Didn't want to press charge. Well, that's not how we do things, though, you know? You don't get the cops involved. Why would you get the cops involved and press charges when you can get this man in the ring and beat him up without any legal repercussions whatsoever? You can legally beat the hell out of this man. So, of course, you don't press charges. It's smart. But they actually did it. They actually did. They sent this guy to AJ's house. I saw this. I couldn't believe it. I still think it was a missed opportunity, though, because even though I was happy to see that they did this, I wish he actually made it inside the house. Now, I know, you know, they did this many years ago with Triple H and Randy Orton in the build-up to WrestleMania 25, and it was so corny, and I know some people loved it and look back fondly on it and whatever, but, and it's hard not to do a segment like this and not have it be too campy and corny, but, you know, in this case, I think it would have been fun to see him actually get into the house and make use of the setting. Brawl inside a little bit, have it spill outside. I feel like they half-assed it here. But I will say, I do appreciate at least them going out of their way to explain why they had a camera crew there. Because they were there to interview AJ in preparation for his match at WrestleMania about what he is doing to train and get ready for the match with LA Knight. So that made sense. The rest of this may not have made sense, including the, I guess they do release dash cam footage, I suppose. I mean, the rest of this was obviously completely ridiculous, but this was the high point of the show. I don't know what that says about the rest of this show. Probably nothing very good, but this was the high point of the show for me. We had the Street Profits against the Authors of Pain. This was the other match in bracket number two here. And by the way, before I say anything else, I do want to extend my condolences to Angelo Dawkins. I don't know how many of you saw it, but he did recently lose his mom. I know he posted that on Instagram the other day, so I was very sorry to hear that. That is the worst kind of pain. But AOP had the upper hand early on Dawkins. Montez Ford tagged in, and he went on offense for a little bit until he went for a flip dive out of the ring, a wild dive out over the top rope. Only problem is, Akam and Rosar, they caught him. And they got him in a powerbomb position. And Angelo Dawkins was outside. He was coming over to help his partner. They threw Ford into Dawkins. And then they threw us into the commercial break. Montez Ford, he took a lot of the punishment during the break until eventually he got the hot tag. Dawkins cleaned house for a little bit. Ford tagged back in, and AOP took control again. They went for their finish. Dawkins, though, broke it up, and Ford ended up rolling up Akam for the flash pin, and the Street Profits are moving on. And so here's how it's going to work. This is where I got confused before. So next week, it's going to be the Street Profits taking on Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate in the other match are going to be taking on Angel and Humberto of Legado del Fantasma. The winners of those matches are not wrestling each other. The winners of those matches will grab two of the spots in the ladder match of WrestleMania. So you win next week, you go to WrestleMania. Very simple. Now I look at these two matches, what do I see? I look into my crystal ball, and what do I see? I see AOP. That's what I see. I see AOPP. I'll never forget that angle. They're going to cost the Street Profits their match next week, is what I believe. And I think Austin Theory and Grayson Waller are going to be going to WrestleMania. I think the heels are going over in that match, and I think the babyfaces are going over in the other. And Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate will punch their ticket to the ladder match at WrestleMania, which should be right up their alley. I think they'll thrive in a match like that. Not that Legado wouldn't, but I think that Dunne and Bate, they're going to Mania. And so what that does then, it opens up the Street Profits to tag with Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania against the Final Testament, because by no means, watching this, did I get the impression that this feud, that this program with these men is even close to being over. If it's going to be over, it's going to be over at WrestleMania. And also, I just can't see Bobby Lashley. I do not want to see Bobby Lashley go two straight years being left off the WrestleMania card when you have two nights of WrestleMania. And supposedly, they're looking at about seven matches per night. That's 14 WrestleMania matches. Not counting anything that may be added to the pre-show on each night. Or maybe that'll include the pre-show. Maybe they'll lump the pre-show in there. But what I heard is that they're looking at 14 matches total. You mean to tell me with 14 matches and you got two nights of WrestleMania, you're going to go 2 years in a row and not have Bobby Lashley on the show? He's got to be involved. They already gave us Lashley and Karrion Kross one-on-one the other week. So that's what I think we're headed towards. We're headed towards a six-man tag at Mania this year. And then we got to the main event segment. Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman were out for the big face-to-face to close out this show. They built the entire show around this. They saved this for the very end. You know how they say they saved the best for last? Not this week. Roman said the wise man made a promise and the tribal chief keeps his word. He said he's here all by himself except for Heyman, who he says is no physical threat, which is pretty apparent. He says Cody Rhodes should come out here and join Milwaukee in acknowledging him. And they showed Cody walking in the back, and he is going to be out to the ring after one final commercial break. come back from break. Cody comes out, does the whoa, big reaction for Cody. He gets into the ring, and finally, at long last here, in this build to WrestleMania, we have the two principals in the main event of Night 2. The real main event of WrestleMania this year, what should be the real main event of WrestleMania, in the ring by themselves, face to face. Cody said that if Roman came alone, then I came alone too. And Roman laughed and called him a fool. He called him stupid. From his perspective, Cody is not fit for this job. He is not fit to be the man. He is not fit to be the face of this company because he's an idiot. He's thinking with his heart when he needs to start thinking with his head. Said he aligned himself with Roman's little brother, Seth Rollins. And what happened on Monday? He said Cody was in a little bit of a jam, but where was Seth at? Because it seemed like he was showing his true colors. He said, what did Seth say? He was going to be your shield? He said, you understand that I was in the shield with Seth. We had a bond. I thought that we were becoming family, and what happened? He said, he stabbed me in the back. What do you think is going to happen to you? And that's why I think you're a fool, plain and simple. So even here, so far in this segment, the focus is still the tag team match on Night 1. Cody says, we all remember the Shield. Shield was unstoppable. You guys were undefeated. Let me ask you something, though. Do you remember the first team that did beat the Shield? He said, I'll give you a hint. The last name was Rhodes. What a great match that was, by the way. Battleground 2013. One of my favorite matches that year. Cody and Dustin Rhodes, or Cody and Goldust, beating Roman and Seth to win the tag team titles. Great moment in the ring with Dusty. Got to see Dusty give one final bionic elbow to Dean Ambrose outside the ring. That was a great match. That was a great match because you know what? The story was great. And when you have a great story, and then on top of that you have a great match, I mean, that's the ultimate 1-2 punch. It was great. Anyway, Cody said, I appreciate the wisdom. And he looked at his wrist. And he said, yep, I've got my bullet cufflinks on tonight. And he's certainly no stranger to factions. Little Bullet Club hat tip there. But this isn't a faction that we're talking about. The Bloodline is not a faction. It's family, above all. So, can I trust Seth Rollins? You know what? You might be right. And he mentioned that Rollins hates his guts. But I know one thing, he hates you even more. And then Cody asked Roman, can you trust your partner at WrestleMania? Can you trust The Rock? He thinks that they're all slightly confused, he and the fans. He said, you know, in the pantheon that is the Bloodline, who really is the one in charge? Is it the tribal chief or is it the final boss? And Roman had an opportunity there to at least show some disgust or disdain or get a little bit angry, get a little bit animated, get a little hot. And instead, he kind of just brushed it off. And he said, see, this is what I'm talking about. Spoken and spun like a true politician. He said, what are you out here for? Are you running for governor? He said, anybody got a kid they need kissed? You got to be careful when you say stuff like that in the wrestling business. He goes, that's all Cody does is promise this and promise that. But he doesn't ever keep these promises. He tells these people all these lies and nothing ever happens. He says nothing ever comes to fruition because you're number two. And the fans boo and he says, look, I say that with respect. He goes, Cody is the greatest number two of all time. But that's all you are, is number two. And that's all you'll ever be because I'm number one forever. Cody said, let's get real. Roman grew up in this industry same as I did. Roman was a little kid looking in the mirror, wanting to be the face of a generation. And he says, we're talking Bruno, we're talking Flair, we're talking Hogan, we're talking Austin and Rock and Cena. Cody has conceded to the idea that the generation that follows us our kids will probably grow up wanting to be the next Roman Reigns. We should all, by the way, aspire to be the next... I'm not even a kid, and I aspire to be the next Roman Reigns. I, too, would like to get paid a shitload of money and only have to show up a handful of times each year and wrestle maybe 5 matches in a calendar year. And I don't begrudge him for it. Hey, man, if you could you can get that deal, that's pretty sweet. I think all of us should aspire to be Roman Reigns. He goes, that is Roman's destiny. He's going to be the face of this generation to a lot of kids and a lot of fans. But Cody feels that Roman is unfamiliar with his. He goes, I'm the greatest number two. When it comes to WrestleMania and who beats you for that title that you've held for all this time, I'm not number two. I'm the one. He says, good luck at WrestleMania. And Cody extends his hand out for a handshake, and Roman looks at him like he's crazy. And so Roman, he throws the mic down, he backs away. He does not shake Cody's hand, but he shakes Paul Heyman's hand. And then the two of them leave the ring. Now this got a little awkward, because the crowd was dead silent. You would think for a segment, Roman Reigns, the biggest star outside of The Rock, the biggest star in this... See, this is part of the problem, by the way, when I talk about The Rock overshadowing everybody and Roman Reigns ever since this started, feeling like the little brother of this feud. He calls Seth little brother. Roman is little brother to The Rock. And so maybe it's starting to have an effect on him. I don't know. But for someone who's supposed to be the top dog in this company, and then you have Cody, who is the heir apparent and the top babyface, as Roman and Heyman left the ring, you could hear a pin drop in this building. It's like you're expecting, okay, there's got to be more. And there was more, and yet it still felt underwhelming. But Roman leaves the ring, and he's standing around for a long time, and nothing is happening. And I think maybe they were expecting the crowd to be a little more up. Roman's kind of looking around and everything, and nothing's going on. And I'm waiting, you know, because Cody is standing in the middle of the ring, and I'm waiting and to see what happens. Now, eventually, Roman snaps his fingers. And they were off cue a little bit, because it took a few seconds. But what he was doing was, when he snapped his fingers, they played his music, and they signaled the arrival of Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso. They cut to the crowd. There they were. Solo in this part of the crowd, Jimmy coming out of the crowd over there, and eventually they made their way over the barricade, came down to ringside. Are you telling me the heel lied? Roman Reigns lied to all of us? So Cody was all alone in the ring by himself. Solo and Jimmy, they end up standing beside Heyman and Roman at the foot of the aisleway. Cody takes his jacket off in the ring. And Roman has a look on his face like he just can't understand why this guy doesn't look scared or intimidated. Then they cut to a shot of Jey Uso. He's got a hoodie on in the crowd. And in another part of the crowd, also in a hoodie, is the World Heavyweight Champion, Seth Rollins, little brother. So they end up getting up on the apron, and they stood with Cody. Well, Cody was technically in the ring. They got up on the apron right in front of him. And they stood together, and we had a stare down. The bloodline on the floor looking up at them, and the baby faces in the ring looking down at the bloodline, and they changed Roman's music to Cody's music, and that is how they went off the air. Here's what I liked. And get that out of the way first. I liked the fact that we had a week where the focus was at least a little bit more on Roman and Cody going into their match at WrestleMania. And yet, even without The Rock being on the show, we're not going to get The Rock back on TV, I believe, until April Fool's Day, which is that Raw. They were hyping it up pretty hard in the commercials tonight. Raw is coming to, I think, Barclays here in Brooklyn on April 1st. Rock will be on Raw. I don't know if Roman will be with him, but Rock will be on Raw. I don't know if he'll be on SmackDown that Friday, but we probably won't see The Rock until the beginning of April. And so even without him there in the flesh, his shadow still looms large over everything. Because even in this segment, the majority of this segment tonight was not about the title. Did they even mention the championship? I mean, Cody did mention the fact that Roman has had that title for a long time, but was there really any focus at all on the undisputed title in this segment, or Cody's story, or... And look, I'm okay not hearing the word story. We've heard it enough. But the focus was hardly even on their actual match on night two. Still, the focus was on the tag team match on night one involving The Rock. The focus was on the fact that, can you trust The Rock? Who's the real boss of the Bloodline? Is it the tribal chief? Is it the final boss? Now, we all know the longer-term plan here is to eventually get to Rock and Roman. They're going to do the match at some point, probably WrestleMania next year. We're going to get that match, and this is all going to play into that story. Yeah, but I've made the comparisons recently to this feeling a lot like WrestleMania 27. And that whole story arc with Rock and John Cena. You go into the main event of WrestleMania that year in Atlanta, and what is the main event? John Cena and The Miz, which just screams WrestleMania main event, I know. But it didn't matter because the whole thing was a total afterthought. That's why The Miz got a WrestleMania main event that year, because it didn't matter. It didn't matter. The real stars were Rock and Cena. Their story started at 27, and then it built to their first match at 28, and then their final match, the blow-off, at 29. It was a three-year story arc. The whole point of it was, at the very end, Cena would be crowned, he would be anointed, and Rock would endorse him. Didn't exactly go the way that they had planned, because I still remember him raising Cena's hand and boo, right? Is that really what they wanted after 3 years? Probably not. But here we are again in a situation where it's starting to feel like it's that situation all over again, where this is only the beginning chapter of a bigger story, and so the focus really is on that and not where it is supposed to be. This was an opportunity for them to get back to the other match, to get back to the title, and it didn't feel like that. This may end up being the only time that we get Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes alone together in the ring before they meet at WrestleMania. This could very well end up being it. Between now and April 7th. And they had an opportunity to go out there and say something at least somewhat different than what they have already been saying in their promos, and they whiffed. They didn't do it. It was boring. There was nothing new. There was nothing engaging or interesting about this segment. It fell flat. Sometimes segments fall flat. Sometimes you hit a home run. But it's tough when this may end up being the only time that we get these two in the ring together like this, because the WrestleMania focus is on so many different things. It's not like it's just hyper-focused on this one match. This may be it. And if this is it, boy, was this fucking lame. When this segment was over, it just felt underwhelming. That was my biggest issue with it. I don't know if we're going to get these two in the ring together like this again. But the whole focus was on that tag team match on night one, when it should have been, I believe, on the title match for night two. Now, I'm hoping that as we get closer to WrestleMania, this feeling that I have now where, and again, it really hit me watching this segment tonight. It's just Rock's addition to this entire story has shifted the focus away from where it needs to be. And that's a problem, because as somebody who wants to see Roman and Cody in a rematch of WrestleMania, and that was the direction that I thought they were going in originally, had no issue with that. When Cody won the Royal Rumble and he pointed up at Roman Reigns in the skybox, and I said, all right, here we go. I had no issue with it, but then Rock showed up and everything got thrown into chaos. And I've been entertained by a lot of Rock stuff. Rock has added a little something extra to the build for WrestleMania, but at what cost? I mean, they're going to do huge business. They're going to get a ton of media. They got The Rock back. They love it. They got The Rock back. We got the Hollywood Rock theme song back, right? There's a lot to like. But at what cost? What is it doing to the other match of WrestleMania? Even I'm sitting here going, man, this is boring. It shouldn't be this way. Now, I know last year going into WrestleMania, there was no physicality between Roman and Cody. I think they kept them apart. And they seem to be doing the same thing again this year. You know, look, I'm not even saying that we needed a Pier 6 brawl with all six guys at the end of the show, but what they gave us was very underwhelming. And I think that by the time we get to night two, and Roman comes out, you know, 4 years later when his entrance is over and Cody comes out, when they finally ring the bell and they get in the ring for their match, it's going to be a great match. I think it's going to be a great match, hopefully with the correct finish. And there's a lot of potential there to have fun with it. It probably will be overbooked to all hell. But again, it could turn out to be a really fun match. And everything can work out okay in the end. And I'm hoping that's what happens. Because right now I'm sitting here going, man, I don't have this level of excitement that I should have for this match. And it's not because they booked the wrong match. I believe they booked the right match. But it's all part of how they are getting people excited for this match and how they are building to it. It's not clicking. And the reason it's not clicking is about 6'3", 275 pounds has a lot to do with it. And again, Roman is so laid back. I said that at the beginning of the review, that it's like anything Cody says that should get him hot under the collar, it's like it just sort of rolls off his back like it's no big deal. So, I don't know. He basically just kind of waved Cody off like a scrub there in that segment. Anyway, we'll see what happens when Rock comes back on Raw on the 1st. But as far as next week, I don't think they announced anything as far as Roman. I know they haven't announced anything for Rock, so I'm not expecting him on SmackDown next week. But this is how you can tell. For all the people who said, well, this was obviously part of the plan from the very beginning, and all the prognosticators and the podcasters and everybody got worked, this was always going to be the plan. Rock has said from day one, I'm a long gamer, right? No. That doesn't prove anything. And you're seeing why. You're seeing exactly why. I don't believe that they would be building to Roman and Cody in this way if Rock never showed up and never said that he wanted to be a part of WrestleMania, because it was going to be The Rock against Roman Reigns. And then they decided, oh shit, this isn't exactly the reaction we were hoping for, so let's come up with a plan B. And we'll really shake things up and we'll have Rock go heel. Like, do people honestly believe that when Rock initially came back, the original plan was for him to go heel? I'm glad he did, because it freshened the character up, and so I've enjoyed that, but give me a break. I've seen enough of this build now to know that there's no fucking way that this was originally what they had planned for these two guys. And the reason I think why it rings so hollow is because this was not the original plan. They had to call an audible. But it's all about Rock. He sucks the oxygen up in the entire room. You know, it's hard to breathe. It's part of the problem here. And it might get even worse if he sticks around for a little while. Even if Cody wins the belt, it might get worse for Cody, because Cody will win the title and he'll still feel like number two. And you never want that to be the case when you crown your new champion. You know, they kind of get the CM Punk run from 2012, or, you know, pick any champion you want to think of who won the belt, but they still really weren't positioned as the top guy. That's something that Cody Rhodes does not need coming out of WrestleMania. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of SmackDown here for March the 22nd? 45% give this show 4 stars. 33% give the show 3 stars. 13% give it a 2-star rating. And 9% give tonight's show 1 star. Oh boy. Issa's loving this. I see Issa. Issa, I thought of you right away. I said, she's going to love this. The minute that the words leave my mouth, when I say, boy, this match, man, this build feels boring. She says, Cody is being exposed. But Issa, I bought a box of tissues for you. Just tell me where to ship them. And that way, at the end of night two, you will have them in hand to dry up your tears when the tribal chief is forced to sulk off at the end of WrestleMania without his belt. You got like a P.O. box or something, just let me know. I got the good stuff, too. It's like 3-ply. Like, no matter how much you cry, like, it won't tear a hole in the tissue. Like, it's really sturdy, you know? I got the good stuff. Only the good stuff for you. All right, let's talk about your super chats. Let's get to your questions here. She'll be in Philly. I'll be in Philly. I'm not going to be at WrestleMania, but I'll be in Philly. Be in Philly a couple days. But I'll be here on Saturday and Sunday with all of you so we can talk about WrestleMania. Let's start off with the early Super Chats, because we had some that came in early, as always. The early ones have stopped showing up in the sidebar on the left. Let's start with the early guys here. Let's start with Orioles Peak. Orioles Peak says, Pierce is the worst GM ever. He's got no game. He doesn't. I'm telling you, man, he's like Paul Levesque. Whiffing on all of these free agents. This week's episode is sponsored by Factor. You know, I can be picky about what I eat and the products that I use, services I use, but every now and then I get to try something new. I recently tried out Factor Meals for the first time, and let me tell you something, I do not regret my decision. Okay, it's not just about eating food that tastes good, it's about eating good food that's dietitian approved and comes delivered fresh, never frozen, ready to go in just 2 minutes. Factor is a meal delivery service that ships fresh, ready-made, chef-crafted meals right to your doorstep. With over 35 options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto meals. In fact, one of those Protein Plus meals I've got my eye on from their menu this week is the cilantro chicken with brown rice and black beans. I'm a chicken guy. I'm surprised I don't have feathers growing out of me with all the chicken I eat. But that's just one of many, and they have more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. So give it a try. You can fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. They have tons of options for the entire day, including pancakes for breakfast, smoothies, and more. They're also flexible to fit into your schedule, no matter how busy you may be. You can get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals each week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Factor is the perfect solution if you are looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. I'm not a very good cook. If I had to cook a fresh meal for myself every day, I would starve, okay? All right? So it's nice to be able to have a fresh meal to heat up without all the hassle. And when you sign up, you save. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/solomonster50 and use the code solomonster50 to get 50% off. That's code SOLOMONSTER50 at factormeals.com/SOLOMONSTER50 to get 50% off. Arabian Night, wow, that main event segment was awful. Not compelling at all. Mr. Andrew with a $4.99. Have Cody and Roman run out of new things to say? Also, what is with them refusing to do anything physical in this build for the second year in a row? Probably don't want them to get hurt. They better hope that they don't get hurt on night one. What a disaster that would be. Arabian Knight says WWE's format and pacing of TV is ass. Long entrances, too many breaks at the worst spots. AEW's pacing is fast, but I would take that over some of the WWE shows. We have got Chris Auditor. Here we go. Chris chiming in here with the $5. The body cam footage of Knight and Styles brawling in the middle of the road was hilarious. I told you, it's the best segment on the entire show. Peter Quartieri is coming in hot with a $20 super chat. Hey y'all, happy Friday. Happy Friday to you as well, Peter. I hope you have a great weekend. Tribal Kev, salute to The Rock. He is levels above these two. Goat. Hard to argue, right? Ted Evans says, what is the greatest WrestleMania main event build? I'm still very partial to Austin and Rock at WrestleMania X7. Partially because of that awesome video package. So maybe I'm a little, my opinion is a little colored maybe by the My Way video package that they put together. Because honestly, if you think about it, the build was not the best for a WrestleMania main event. especially when they had Deborah involved for about 2 weeks there. Thankfully, they quickly abandoned that. But the greatest WrestleMania main event build, it's either WrestleMania 5 with Hogan and Savage, or, well, you know what? It may be. It may be Hogan and Savage. I may go WrestleMania 5. I mean, that was built up over a period of what? Probably close to 18 months. They took their time with it. It was one of the, still to this day, one of the greatest angles in WrestleMania history. I vote for Hogan and Savage. And that WrestleMania did big business, too. BCOMC clearly, Kendrick Lamar just started a rap war and dissed J. Cole and Drake. Rap is a contact sport, not a friendly sport. This is rap-related. Ask the chat. What the hell does that have to do with wrestling, though? So Kendrick Lamar just started a rap war and dissed J. Cole and Drake. Okay. But how does that affect Roman Reigns? That's what I want to know. JDF VA says, bring me WrestleMania 40. Also, Seth and Punk at SummerSlam. I don't think so. I don't know that Punk is going to be back before SummerSlam and the first match when he comes back has to be Drew McIntyre. So I think for Punk and Rollins, you are either looking at, well, you know what? You could be looking at WrestleMania next year. You could be looking at WrestleMania 41 for Punk and Rollins. MacTub, rank by in-ring, HBK, Angle, Styles, and Danielson. Oof, boy. In ring, you know, boy, I feel like you gotta go with Shawn or you gotta go with Danielson. I probably lean towards Shawn Michaels. I think I'd put Shawn Michaels in the top spot for me. And behind Shawn, probably it's either Danielson or Kurt. I'm a big Kurt Angle guy, so it's tough, man. You're putting me in a tough spot here. I'll go HBK. And Angle, and then Danielson, and then Styles. But that's a tough one. Seymour Tang. Is WWE 2K24 worse than 2K20? If so, why do you think it isn't getting as bad of a review? It has an 81 on Metacritic, but I saw you play it. It looks like garbage. It's because for me, it is garbage. Apparently on the consoles, it's not as garbage, but the PC version for Steam is garbage. And I can't talk about 2K20. I did not play 2K20. So other people may say that 2K20 was worse or it was more glitchy. Maybe it was. Not for me, because I didn't play it. And that's not what I said. I said 2K24 is the buggiest game that I have ever played in my life. And that is correct. Detective Tyler. Cody claimed to be responsible for the Shield's first loss, but correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it Brian and two others in a six-man tag sometime in 2013? Well, yes. So what you're thinking of was a six-man tag on SmackDown. It was Brian, it was Kane, and I believe Randy Orton. And that technically would be the Shield's first loss. So it's possible that Cody got his terminology crossed up, because when he and Dustin beat Roman and Seth, it was for the tag team titles. But technically, as a trio, the Shield was undefeated until that episode of SmackDown, so you are correct. I remember that because they made a big deal about it on commentary, and they celebrated, and the crowd celebrated like it was a big deal that these men had finally been beaten as a trio for the first time. Shayna Rooney. Just got home from attending SmackDown with my lovely lady. Always a good time attending these shows live. The crowd was involved, and I enjoyed the action from the matches tonight. Yeet. Well, Shane, if you enjoyed the show, that's all that matters. It's always more fun to be there live. You get the live reactions and everything. Watching it on TV tonight, this was not a great episode of SmackDown. Not for me. Alex says, Brother Solo, with WWE reaching historic lows around 2018 and 19, how impactful has the Bloodline story been since the COVID pandemic? And what should WWE do to continue this hot trend? WWE's got a lot of stars right now. It's not just the Bloodline. You've got all kinds of people who are over right now with the audience. Cody Rhodes is over. Jey Uso is over. Rhea Ripley is over. Becky Lynch is still over. You've got LA Knight who's still over. Maybe he's cooled off a little bit, but he's still over. And then you've got, of course, The Rock on TV every other week. You've got Roman and... you've got Seth, you know, him or, you know, his song is over. So they have a lot of different people right now who are all hot at the same time. And as far as the Bloodline story has been a very big part of their television for the past 3.5 years. So, yeah, they deserve a lot of credit for the stories they've been able to weave with this storyline. And I'll give you a few examples. The Bloodline story has had a lot of threads to it. Jey Uso and Roman Reigns, their relationship is one of those threads. And that really is what kicked off the Bloodline storyline. Look at where Jey Uso was 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago. And look at where Jey Uso is right now. They made a star out of Jey Uso out of this storyline. Then you factor Sami Zayn in, who added a whole new layer to the story. And Sami, who had been there for a while and wasn't doing much of anything, on a lark, got involved in one backstage segment that people thought was entertaining, and look what it turned into. It turned into this great story, and it turned into him and Kevin Owens getting a WrestleMania main event for the tag team titles. But I do feel like for a while there, in the summer of 2023, they jumped the shark with the Bloodline story. The Rock coming back injected some new life into it. Now, with the Rock and Roman stuff, you could certainly drag this on for a while longer. And that's to say nothing of the possibility of them adding somebody like a Jacob Fatu or a Tama Tonga if they want to put him in the Bloodline because they consider him family. He could be added to the Bloodline. Whoever it is, there are other members who could be added. So it's like the NWO. I mean, you could cycle people in and out and keep the Bloodline going for another 3 years if they want to. And you know what? If they can find a way to keep it interesting, I don't even mind. It's the fact that it felt like this story jumped the shark after SummerSlam last year, and I was done with it, that I felt like, you know what? I don't need this Bloodline stuff anymore. Once Roman gets beat, they have to move on to something else. But if they can find ways to keep it interesting, then by all means. You know, a lot of times with these factions, they kind of run them into the ground. They get boring. Something works, and so they got to keep doing it until eventually it doesn't work anymore. I mean, the NWO, don't get me started on that. How many versions of that we had? They beat that thing to death. So, yeah, the Bloodline can continue for a while. You just got to find ways to keep it interesting, and that might include some new blood being added, which they could certainly do if they want. Hey, Seymour, thank you for the five. Another five from Seymour. And another five says, do you think the hit or miss quality of the shows lately has to do with the behind-the-scenes chaos or trying too hard to get everybody TV time? No, I don't think you can blame it on that. I would not blame it on trying too hard to get everybody TV time. There are people who are not getting TV time. Yeah, they're pushing the people who are on the WrestleMania card this year. I do wonder, you know, how The Rock being added has changed the way they go about planning these segments out. It could be a factor. I think it could be. I also think that WWE, they have their formula. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, there's a sameness to their shows as far as the formatting of it, the long entrances, the shorter matches, and it's going to be a hit sometimes. Other times, it's going to be a miss. Tonight, in my opinion, was a miss. But they've had a lot of SmackDowns that have been hits in recent weeks that have been very entertaining. I don't think it has to do with any one particular issue. That's the same with any wrestling show. It's the same with AEW. It's the same with TNA. It's the same with Ring of Honor. You will have weeks where the show is really good, and you will have weeks where the show is fucking boring. I mean, that's not a new concept. It's... wrestling's always been like that. Andrew, with the 499. Feel like Bianca's Mania match will be a singles match due to her streak. If she has a tag team match and wins, though, it's the difference. A win is a win. Right? I mean, the only singles match I could think of for her would be against Tiffany. I guess Tiffany could always beat her. That would be a huge win for Tiffany, but... No, I mean, her having a WrestleMania streak doesn't mean anything to me. I don't see what the issue is putting her in a tag match 1 year. If they don't have a really good story for her, then go with the match that makes sense. If she and Jade team up to challenge for the tag team titles, they're winning the titles. So whether you want to count that into her streak or not, she's still going to win. I personally don't see what the big deal is. Detective Tyler. Cody comes, Roman comes, Veer comes. Everyone comes. Speak for yourself, buddy. Seymour says, I was legit so scared when they started talking about number two that Cody was going to say, Seth and I will beat you and Diarrhea Dwayne. You know, I didn't even think about that because I have tried to put that out of my mind. But you're right. He could have made a very terrible joke. Thankfully, he didn't. Alex says, when is it ideal to have longer, more lengthier matches than having five-minute matches? Are there certain parameters that you believe factor into match lengths? No. No. There's no system for it. It's whatever makes sense. So, for example, they had a match a few weeks ago with Dragon Lee and Santos Escobar. It went 2 minutes. And it might have been one of those shows where the Rock stuff at the beginning went really long. I don't remember what week it was. They literally gave those guys 2 minutes on television. Now, if you have Santos Escobar and you have Dragon Lee, and you're going to put them in the ring together, you give them more than 2 minutes. To me, that's just unacceptable. When you have two people, and their strength is really their in-ring work above anything else. You take those two and you put them out there and you handicap them by putting them in a situation where they have a very forgettable, short, nothing match. That did more to hurt Dragon Lee, beating him in 2 minutes like that, than anything else they've done with him so far. There are times where I feel like you just sort of know when it's appropriate to have a match go longer than maybe it normally would go. And part of it also is what else do you have formatted on the show? It all depends on what is on the show that night. Like, if I were booking these shows, I would have an idea of what the card is going to be a week out, and I would have it down on paper, and I would look at it and go, okay, we're not going to have time to have any matches on this show longer than 10 minutes. So let's take one match, the match that we think needs that time more than any other. We'll give them the 10 minutes, and we'll have to work around it with everybody else. Or if it's a week where I feel like, you know what, I want these two people to have a match, but I want to give them time. Because this match is going to tear the house down. I want them to have like 15 to 18 minutes in the main event, 3 commercial breaks. I'll format the show around it. Some people may have to be left off. Other matches may have to have their time cut. And this is what they go through on a weekly basis. But there's not, you know, in WWE, there's not a priority on the week-to-week TV on match lengths. And I'm not saying they need to have long matches every single week. They have more room to work with on Mondays because it's 3 hours instead of two. AEW, also, if you think about it, they don't really always have longer matches. They have so much that they throw at you, it's hard to have longer matches sometimes because there's almost too much stuff. One of the things I've enjoyed about the last few weeks of Dynamite is the fact that it doesn't feel like they're just sort of rushing through everything and they give things a chance to breathe a little bit. For a long time, they didn't do that. And that's not good either. When you try to fit too many people and too many things on the show, you don't recall all the things that you're supposed to remember. It works against you. But it's not like we're having 20-minute matches on Dynamite every week either. You know, you've just got to make use of the television real estate that you have. It's tough. You know, and you hope that when you get to the pay-per-views, that you will have longer matches on those shows. If you can't do them on weekly TV. So it's a give and take. And the other thing also is, And I know people don't like hearing this, but it's true. They are also trying to appeal to a broader audience. And the fact is, if you have people who aren't wrestling fans, or maybe they are casual viewers of the show, they'll check in every now and then. They want to see the names and the big stars. They want to see The Rock or Cody or Bianca. But they don't really pay attention to the week to week. Those people don't give a shit about the matches. They really don't. Like, to them, it doesn't matter if the match goes 10 minutes or 25 minutes. It doesn't matter. And frankly, the longer those matches go on, those people will probably get bored and will tune out. Now, I don't care because I'm a wrestling fan and I like longer matches sometimes. I don't give a fuck if Joe Blow, who only watches the show once a month, is watching the show and gets bored by seeing Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio wrestle for 18 minutes. Fuck you, right? I mean, what do I care about him for? But they do. And so if they think that people are going to turn the show off because we have too many long matches, then you're not going to get long matches. Because to someone who doesn't watch the show week to week, if you're watching the show, you know, and you have this longer match that goes through multiple commercial breaks, they're a lot less likely to stay tuned into the show. You know, you gotta go from one to the next. You gotta keep things moving. I get it. It all factors into their thinking on this. Alan says, it seems very likely that when Cody wins the title on night two, Rock will somehow still steal the limelight through interference or some BS. It blows. I mean, that's one of my concerns. That even at the very end of night two, it still somehow is all about The Rock. I hope I'm wrong. Money Benny. Hogan, Rock, Austin. Cody. Yeah, clear difference. And I'm sure people said that about Austin and Rock when they were first getting over too. What's your point? Give me back shots, Sala Monster. No. But I will give you an answer to your question. He says, Gunther against Oba Femi will be a WrestleMania headliner one day. I don't know about that. I don't know about that particular match. Chris Mike Sell, Solo, when you do your wrestling events, have you had a wrestler recognize you for your podcast work? And if so, who was cool with you? Yes, and I don't name names. So I'm not going to say, but the answer is yes. Bret Hart, Goldberg sucks, Asuka is awesome. I could not have said it any better myself. Arabian Knight, surprised they put Jade on SmackDown. Draft is going to be interesting. Raw's women's division is weak. Besides Rhea and Becky, they should have put Tiffany on Raw. I was putting the Slammy Award categories in my notes because I'll run through them on the podcast on Sunday and give my thoughts on each category. They're bringing back the Slammies this year. First time, I think, in 4 years. And they have one category, and I think it's for, it might be for Female of the Year, Woman of the Year. I forgot exactly what the title of the category is. But I was thinking about it, and my instinct was to say, of the options, of the choices they gave, my instinct was to go with Rhea Ripley. But then I thought about it, and I said, you know what, I can't go with Rhea Ripley. I'm going to go with Becky Lynch. Because the more I thought about it, even though Rhea has been in a top position, like, she's out there with Judgment Day every week, and she's always getting TV time. The thing about Rhea Ripley, and I love Rhea Ripley. I think she's great. I know she's capable of having these great matches. This run that she has had, when you look back at the people that she has feuded with, this run has been very underwhelming. I mean, they have had her out there over the past year since that great match with Charlotte Flair. They've had her wrestling Natty, and they've had her wrestling... Oh, God, who was the other one? For a while that she feuded with. Oh my God, who was it? I don't know, was somebody else kind of lower in the pecking order, and then it was Zoe Stark, and it was these different people who aren't even over. And I'm like, this run has actually kind of blown, and I don't blame Rhea for that. It has more to do with the people that they've had her working with. And I can't in good conscience sit here and say that, yeah, you know, I would put Rhea Ripley over Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch has gone out there and had some pretty fucking great matches over the last several months. So anyway, I'll get into all those slammy categories on the show on Sunday. But it really hit me when I was looking at the options in the women's category, and I'm like, this has been a fucking lame run that she's had as champion. I can't put her in the top spot. Like, when I think back to post-Charlotte at WrestleMania last year, what's the best Rhea Ripley title defense in the last year? Like, name the best match. I don't know. I mean, maybe Nia by default, their match at Elimination Chamber? I'm not exactly... Yeah, it's not like I got my pen and I got my long list of choices here. It's like, yeah, this has been kind of underwhelming. Jamie Dorsch with the $10 super chat. ABK does rule. Right. Jamie says, any desire I had to buy 2K24 went out the window after watching you play on episode 2, suffering through the slowdown. Poor Solomonster. Keep playing. I probably will keep playing, but I'm waiting for the next patch because, you know, the thing is, like, some of these glitches are very funny. Maybe not to me after I've suffered through the seventh one in one sitting, but it's that lag. It's like the lag is no fun. It's not fun for me. I can't imagine it's fun for anybody watching. Like, who wants to watch that? You know, and again, I never had these issues with any of the other 2K games. I mean, I downloaded a fucking demo in Steam for Street Fighter 6 and had no issues. Like, it doesn't make sense. And it's not just that. It's all the other glitches and bugs and stuff. I'm like, you know, it's like I can understand sitting down and playing the game and having one or two glitches. Like, oh, that's funny. When you literally go from one glitch to the next, to the next, to the next, and it crashes four times in an hour, there's something wrong, and I don't think it's on my end. Brandon Vasquez, what is your Mount Rushmore of the worst WrestleMania matches of all time? I don't have a Mount Rushmore for worst WrestleMania matches, but if I did... Bret Hart and Vince McMahon, it pains me to say it, but Bret Hart's match would be on there from WrestleMania 26. That match sucked. That was terrible. I wish that match never happened. But, so that would be on there. I tell you what, Bret and Bob Backlund at WrestleMania 11 had a pretty fucking terrible match. Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns from WrestleMania 34 might be on there. I can come up with a few. Jazz Jackrabbit, Cody being a good number two. That's good shit, pal. It's very important. Very important to be number two. Usually at least in the morning and then again at night. JDF VA, 2K24 runs fine on consoles, but on PC, yeah, there are problems. Arabian Knight, in the last year, the wrestler I wish I... No, I misread that. In the last year, the wrestler I wish went to WWE was Jay White. Feel his wrestling style even more than Ospreay would have translated well to the WWE style. I do too, and I actually said that I would love to see him in WWE, even though I thought AEW would probably be a better fit. I was intrigued by the possibility of Switchblade in WWE. But you gotta remember, when he made his decision to sign, I think Vince was still around, or Vince had just forced his way back in. Who knows if that played into his thought process. There was a report about them having a hiring freeze. Yeah, the man's got to work. So if they had a hiring freeze and the old fucker was back, then the decision was easy. You could either wait until WWE decides to hire people again, and then go back and work for Vince McMahon, who I don't think Vince McMahon would understand Jay White. You could either wait and do that, or you could look to your right, and there's Tony Khan waving a bunch of money at you saying, here, come to Papa. So I'm not surprised that Jay White made the decision that he did. I would have done the same thing. Paul Carpenter. I was there in Buffalo when the Rhodes brothers beat the Shield. It was a great match live and great to see Dusty live. It was a great match on TV too. Devin from New Jersey. If Solo was a wrestler, would he have an entourage? And if so, who would be in it? Noah the Mark, Bret Hart, Luis, and the Dragon of Ra. Oh boy. Can you imagine Luis from the streams in my corner? It'd be like the Rock and Sock Connection. We probably would end up becoming tag team champions and becoming like the most popular thing in the company. Just my sheer look of disgust every time he brings up one of these Yu-Gi-Oh! References, and I just look at him like, what? That would be something. Chris Mikesell, do you see Jimmy getting the W at WrestleMania 40? Look, the heels are 2-0 in the brother versus brother feuds. Shout out to Owen Hart, my all-time favorite. Well, I don't remember who won. Was it Matt Hardy that beat Jeff at WrestleMania 25? I don't even remember who won that match. Jimmy against Jay. I don't want to make my final prediction this early, because I haven't really had a lot of time to think about it. But I could see this being the first of multiple matches. And if it's the first of multiple matches, then yes, then Jimmy would win. Prince Vegeta, what is your all-time favorite comedy show? Mine is Between the Office and Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Seinfeld. Mike Witt, hot take. Gunther's title reign has been more impressive than Roman's. Way better matches, in my opinion. I want Dustin to help Cody win on night two. Well, that's not going to happen. It would be cool if Dustin could at least have permission to be there, like in the front row. And I don't know that that's much of a hot take, honestly. I don't think you're that crazy for saying that. The matches that Gunther has had have been largely excellent. I might actually agree with you. And Roman's had a lot of great matches too. Heart of Debonair. Roman the title. Rock intentionally costs Roman Reigns his match during Cody versus Roman 3. The Rock takes over the bloodline. Roman Reigns feuds with each member, reunites with Jay until Mania match with Rock. I could see that. I think that's one way to lay it out. It's not unrealistic. Detective Tyler, assuming they would still have... And by the way, Heart of Debonair, I love that name. I love that name. Thank you for the $20. That's a great name. A very classy chap. Heart of Debonair. I feel like he has his car valet parked outside my house. Detective Tyler says, assuming they would still have Jimmy betray Jay, you can still tell the story of Jimmy breaking Solo out without going back to Roman. The betrayal already ruined the Usos arc, but that made it worse. Yeah, that's when I felt like the whole thing jumped the shark. That's when my whole attitude about the bloodline went from like still being into it and still being interested and excited to like, come on. You know, like, really? Hey, Tyler, thank you, though, for the $9.99. MacTub, with the $2, says, who's the third best member of the Shield for you? Man. For me, it would be Ambrose. Bleed Boston, do you think we'll get a heel Bianca against babyface Bayley feud after WrestleMania, or do they think that they need to put that feud to rest for a bit? I don't get that sense. I feel like they're going to put that to rest for a bit. I don't know that they want to turn Bianca heel. I don't get the impression at all that they want to turn this woman heel. So I don't see it. Mystic J 44. Hey, Sala Monster. I know everyone has their own picks, but who do you think they are bringing up to the main roster from NXT after WrestleMania? Carmelo Hayes. I mean, once this feud is over with him and Trick Williams, I mean, we already had Carmelo Hayes on TV, but he was not officially called up. I don't see how you don't officially call him up coming out of Stand and Deliver. So if I had to pick a name, it would be Carmelo Hayes. Retro KOH. Angry video game nerd should play WWE 2K24. Yes, but only if he plays the PC version. If he plays the PC version, then I think you'll get angry video game nerd. Barry MK, 2K24 plays perfectly on PS5. PC always sucks. I don't know. I didn't have any issues like this with 2K23. Raf with a dollar. Hey, Raf, thank you. Where are we on? I haven't even checked the likes, by the way. Have we hit our goal? Or be the booker. We were supposed to hit 400. Where are we? Barry says, did you see what the fans said to Roman? No, I did not. I did not see what the fans said to Roman. What did he say? TK Banks, listening to Bischoff on his podcast talking about, since WrestleMania is now two nights, can we see a WrestleMania at two different venues? Do you think that can happen? Can it happen? Yes. Do I think it's going to happen? No. That just sounds like a logistical nightmare. There is a reason why they tried it in 1986, and they have not tried it again since. I don't see the need for it. I don't see the need for it. Hollywood guy. If CM Punk would not have been injured, do you think that we would have gotten this Roman versus Rock versus Cody feud? No, I don't. I think that was sort of what kicked things off, and everything just sort of cascaded the way that it did. Things would be very different, if Punk did not get hurt. Barry says, how do you like the new Bayley shirt? The one she was wearing backstage tonight? I mean, I thought it looked fine. Hey, Golden Lovers, thank you. I'm glad you enjoy the streams. And Mike says, worst match in WrestleMania history was Adrian Adonis against Uncle Elmer, WrestleMania 2. Look it up and watch it. It was horribly ugly. Yeah, but you know what? I'm willing to bet it was very short. The thing about that Bret Hart match with Vince McMahon is it was forever. It felt like it would never end. Honestly, if that match was like 2 minutes, you talk about 2 minute matches on TV, if that match was kept to a very short time, it wouldn't have been so bad. What made it worse was the longer it went, the more sympathy you had for the old man. And that is not what the goal of that match was supposed to be. However long Uncle Elmer and Adrian Adonis went, I am sure it was not a very long match. Oz and Glorious, the man with the $5. Here to give you a like and show my appreciation for the stream. Fuck the Fed for life, though. Hashtag normalize tribalism. Hey, Oz, thank you, man. Keep me posted on that other thing. Barry MK, you need a room full of strangers to acknowledge your bitch ass, is what the fans said. All right, that's pretty funny. I thought you were going to tell me he said something like a slur or something derogatory. Hey, that's fair game. I don't see anything wrong with that. Roman's a heel, so heel away on the heel. Nothing wrong with that. All right, well, you guys told me that apparently we have smashed the goal. The way that Roman Reigns talks about smashing people. Holy shit, yeah, well, we smashed 500 likes. We are currently sitting at 510. That is awesome. So thank you very much for that. The more likes there are, the more people who will discover the videos, thanks to the YouTube algorithm. Gotta always try to stay ahead of the algorithm, which is nearly impossible to do. But thank you. And so on that note, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Hell yeah. Let's do it. Let's book some matches. I'm in a good mood. And it's not even just because of what's in this mug. All right, here we go. Tag team, be the booker. Here we go. Kick things off the right way here. Oh my God. Of course. Kick things off the right way. You can't kick it off any better than this. We've got the Axe. We've got the Smash. We've got Demolition. Three-time WWE Tag Team Champions. Demolition. That is how you kick off Be the Booker. Well, WWE won't book them, so I will. Demolition going to be taken on. No. Oh, wait. What? I'm being told breaking news here. Breaking news. Zip of the Body Don has accidentally zipped his dick in his pants, and he is on his way to the hospital to get it stitched. Don't you hate when that happens? So because of injury, we have to select a new team. Poor Zip, man. I, you know, told him you got to watch those zippers. Sends a shiver down your spine, don't it? All right. Demolition going to be taking on the Alpha Academy, Chad Gable and Otis. There we go. That's better. That's much better. Chad Gable and Otis against Demolition. I'll give that the bell. We got a bleeder. That's right. Poor Zip. You know, you do it too fast sometimes, and man, it'll send your voice up a few octaves. All right. Women's Be the Booker. We begin with the reigning Women's World Champion. A very different look here for Rhea Ripley, but there she is. Rhea Ripley. This was Rhea Ripley from her NXT days. Looks like a totally different person. And she looks great now, and she looked great then, but like just a totally different look here. Rhea Ripley, man. I remember when she won the title from Shayna Baszler at Full Sail on that one episode, and all the fans and some of the wrestlers, they got in the ring with her and had her up on their shoulders. It was like a big celebration in the ring. What a great moment that was. Rhea Ripley, one-on-one with... Oh, my God, what are we doing here? Rhea Ripley and Lash Legend. Man. Rhea Ripley and Lash Legend. Maybe one day could be a very good match. Today is not that day. Today is unfortunately not that day. She's got some work to do. Men's Be the Booker. We need a tiebreaker. We begin with the American Nightmare. Cody Rhodes, torn pec and all. Look at that pec. Look how purple it is. It's purple. That's the worst purple nurple I've ever seen in my life. Cody Rhodes, who was an absolute maniac for actually wrestling in that match with a torn pec, and admits that it was a stupid thing to do and he almost vomited during the match, which kind of would have killed the aura, I think, that he was going for in that match if he would have just vomited all over the ring. But that's one half of the WrestleMania main event. And he is one half of our main event. And it will be Cody Rhodes taking on the American dream, Dusty Rhodes. Wow. Wow. What are the chances? Cody is in tears as we speak. He's already getting emotional. Just the thought of this has tears streaming down his face. What are the chances that we get Cody Rhodes against Dusty Rhodes? Holy shit. That would have been an epic match. If Dusty in his prime had the chance to work with his son and his, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll add a stipulation to this match. Why not? Let's at least find out what kind of match they're going to have. I don't remember. I don't think I did. I didn't put bull rope in here, did I? No, I don't think I did. That would have been appropriate. I don't know if bull rope is in here. I don't think so. Well, let's see. What kind of match is Dusty and Cody going to be? Dusty Rhodes against Cody Rhodes on a pole, bro. Oh, no. Oh, no. We end with a buzzer. Oh, man. I should have left it alone. Ruined. Ruined. Vince Russo ruins it as always. Cody against Dusty on a pole, bro. Vince Russo has struck again. Well, at least we have the memory of booking Cody and Dusty before we went and ruined it. What would they put on the pole, though, I guess? Maybe they could put the bull rope, like the cowbell. Maybe they put the cowbell on the pole. I don't know what they would put on the actual pole. Maybe they could put Russo on the pole and just leave him there. How about that? Detective Tyler with a $4.99 super chat. I still can't get over the fact that I booked Cody against Dusty like that at random. That is unbelievable to me. Detective Tyler says, it's still absolutely insane to me that Kevin Owens has two WrestleMania main events under his belt. Love, Kevin Owens. I bet if you were to ask Kevin Owens that, he would also think that that was pretty insane. Not only did he have back-to-back WrestleMania main events, but think about the main events that he had. One of them was against Stone Cold Steve Austin, who had not wrestled a match in almost 20 years and was like his idol. And then the following year, a tag team match for the first time in WrestleMania history since the first WrestleMania headlined the show. And it was the first time that the tag team titles were ever defended in the main event at a WrestleMania. And he got to team with his best friend, which they had never done before in WWE in challenging for a tag team title, and they won. Like, honestly, there's no topping that. Kevin Owens can wrestle another 10 years in WWE, and that will never, ever be topped for him. Like, how do you top that as a back-to-back? Like, you don't. It just doesn't happen. And Skywalker with the $9.99 says, what are your thoughts on Ronda Rousey's comments on the WWE? And can you pinpoint what match did she stop losing her debut pop to no reaction? I'm going to get into the Ronda stuff on Sunday. It's too much to get into here. I have that slotted in for the podcast. What I will tell you is that her first run, when you look back at that first run, as compared to the second run, is night and day. The second run was far worse. And never clicked. And you could kind of tell there towards the end that she just didn't give a shit. And she put over her friend on the way out. She lost to Shayna at SummerSlam, and that was it. She was done. So her second reign was really no good. And part of it also was how they booked her and how they positioned her. But yeah, she had a lot of controversial things that really, if you think about it, aren't so controversial. Some of what she said, but she had a lot of things to say about WWE and Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard and John Laurinaitis. And I think if there's one thing that all of us can agree with Ronda Rousey, even if you don't like Ronda and you think she's terrible or a terrible human being and she said other things, other terrible fucking things in her life, yes, she has. But if there's one thing that I think all of us can agree on with Ronda Rousey, it is fuck Vince McMahon and fuck John Laurinaitis. That much I would like to think that all of us can at least agree on. And on that note, I will bid you farewell. Thank you for making this a very fun stream. Shout out to all of the folks here, all 1,100 plus of you hanging out with me on a Friday night. Shout out to ABK for the 400 bomb. Holy crap. And everybody else as well. Some good questions in there. Live on Monday night is where I will be with you again here on YouTube after Monday Night Raw. But of course, before that, we have episode 853 of the podcast on Sunday. I will talk more about Ronda, and I'll go through those slammy categories, and I will also be reviewing the Freebird Terry Gordy episode of Dark Side of the Ring. Hope you guys have been enjoying those reviews, by the way, and you will be happy to know that this week we don't have to talk about bullets and ball sacks. That was last week, so that's a good thing. Terry Gordy wasn't sitting at home getting his balls shaved by Mama Gordy, so you don't have to worry about any of those stories this week. But it was still a good episode, so that'll be on Sunday. Until then, be well, stay safe, have a great weekend, and come on back the next time and join me for more live sound off here on YouTube. Until then, take care, guys.